Have you ever brushed off a sudden blessing as just a stroke of good luck?
Right, we do that all the time.
Or perhaps you felt a quiet conviction to forgive someone who wronged you, and you simply told yourself, well, I will get around to forgiving them tomorrow.
I mean, it is so easy to just pre-assume we have that kind of time.
It really is. Today, we are settling in for a deep dive into the source material. We have a profoundly timely source to look at. It is a Sunday night teaching delivered by Brother John on August 2, 2026.
And the title of that message is God's Sovereignty.
Exactly. God's sovereignty. Our mission today is to figure out if our casual, everyday vocabulary is actually robbing God of his glory. We want to understand how remembering exactly who is directing history serves as our only true anchor in this, increasingly chaotic world.
It is a tremendous privilege to reflect on this material with you today, and what a vital mission that is for the believer.
Amen.
We are walking through a world that feels undeniably dark right now. It feels fractured, like it is spinning completely out of our control.
Right. You look at the headlines, and it is incredibly easy to just succumb to a sense of despair.
Exactly. But Brother John's message provides this powerful grounding remedy. He reminds us of God's absolute, unshakable control.
Praise the Lord for that.
And our goal here is not just theological debate. It is to examine what you, as a believer, must hold on to so you can navigate this present darkness faithfully. We have to remember who is truly in the driver's seat of human history.
Amen to that. And to truly grasp the grand scale of God's sovereignty, Brother John suggests we actually need to start very small.
Yes, right at home.
Right. Before we can marvel at God ruling the cosmos, we have to look closely at the words we casually use in our kitchens or, our workplaces.
Which is such a convicting thought.
It is. He and his congregation define sovereignty with just beautiful clarity. They establish that God is the supreme authority.
Nothing happens without his knowledge.
Nothing. He isn't up in heaven wringing his hands, merely reacting to human history. He is actively, constantly directing it.
That specific distinction is paramount for you to remember. God is not reactive. He is never surprised by the global news cycle,
Right.
nor is he surprised by the sudden, terrifying storms in your personal life. But Brother John points out a very subtle trap we fall into as Christians. Over time, we have adopted the vocabulary of a secular world.
We really have. We use words like coincidence.
Yes. Or we describe monumental events as spontaneous,
We talk about beginner's luck.
or the luck of the draw, or the luck of the Irish.
Right. And while we might say those things with innocent intentions, those words carry a philosophical weight. They directly contradict the truth of God's supreme authority.
They do. In fact, Brother John made a lighthearted joke during the lesson. He said his absolute favorite kind of luck is a potluck.
I loved that. But the underlying truth there is incredibly serious. When we attribute our circumstances to chance, we are essentially stealing the praise that rightfully belongs to the Creator.
We are.
It makes me think of an analogy. Imagine your earthly father spends months meticulously crafting this expensive, beautiful gift for you. He
Right.
carefully packages it and sends it to your door. When it arrives, you open it, you marvel at its beauty, and then you spend the rest of the day profusely thanking the mailman who dropped it off.
What a profound way to look at it.
I mean, calling God's sovereign provision luck is exactly like thanking the mailman. It completely ignores the loving father who actually orchestrated the gift.
Incredible. And that casual dismissal of God's hand, it connects perfectly to another message Brother John referenced from earlier that same Sunday.
Yes, the morning message.
Right. It was delivered by a brother named Tom Van Ward. Tom preached about the spiritual danger of pre-assuming our future.
Pre-assuming our future. That is such a heavy phrase.
It is. You see, we walk around with this persistent illusion of control. We say things like, well, I have anger in my heart, but I will get around to forgiving that person eventually.
We pre-assume that our tomorrow is guaranteed.
Exactly. We fail to realize the sobering reality that we are not even guaranteed the drive home from church.
I have to push back a little on this, though, because I know many believers were probably thinking this right now.
Please do.
Is it really that harmful if we just use these words as cultural habits? I mean, when a Christian tells a friend good luck before a job interview, they aren't making a grand theological statement about a random universe.
Right. They just want to be polite.
Exactly. Does a casual phrase actually cause us spiritual harm?
That is a very fair question, and it gets to the heart of why Brother John is so passionate about this. Words are the building blocks of our worldview.
Right.
Words shape our beliefs, and our beliefs ultimately shape our peace.
That is so true.
When we casually agree with the world that things are random, even in our polite cultural habits, we slowly begin to lose our theological anchor. Think about the logic of it.
Okay.
If you subconsciously believe your promotion was just the luck of the draw, then you must also believe your sudden job loss or your illness is just bad luck.
Oh, I see.
And if that is true, you are left entirely at the mercy of chaos.
What a revelation.
But believing that God is intimately involved in every single detail, that nothing occurs outside his sovereign decree, it gives us profound peace. It assures us that chaos doesn't win.
Amen.
Every trial, every provision, every delay is filtered through the loving fingers of a sovereign God before it ever reaches you.
Incredible. That completely flips the script on how we view our mornings, our evenings, and every conversation in between.
It really does.
But Brother John doesn't stop at our daily circumstances. He takes this truth to its ultimate conclusion.
He goes right to the core of it.
Yes. If God is completely sovereign over our daily circumstances and our tomorrows, how does that sovereignty apply to the most important eternal event of our entire lives?
How does it apply to our salvation?
Exactly.
This is where the source material becomes deeply humbling. Brother John lovingly critiques a phrase that is incredibly common in modern Christian vocabulary.
We hear it in testimonies all the time.
All the time. People say, I decided to give my life to God.
Right. Or we celebrate and say, so-and-so finally chose to give their life to the Lord.
Yes. And Brother John points out that God's plan existed before the universe was even formed. He reads directly from Ephesians, reminding the congregation that salvation is God's grace and God's purpose.
It is not a human achievement.
No, it is not a badge of honor. To illustrate this, he shares his own deeply personal testimony.
I love this part.
He talks about sitting in church one day as a younger man. Before that specific moment, he honestly believed he was a perfectly good American citizen.
He thought he was a good man. Outstanding, even.
Exactly. He figured he hadn't broken any major laws. He didn't just wake up and choose to suddenly see his own brokenness. The Holy Spirit pulled the veils from his eyes.
Praise the Lord for that kind of divine intervention.
Amen. He realized in an instant that he was entirely incapable of choosing God on his own merit.
It is a beautiful, raw testimony of God's drawing power. Because of our fallen nature, our spiritual eyes are blind to our own need for a Savior.
They are completely blind.
Brother John asks a piercing question during his message. He says, if I am the one who decided to do this, where does that put God?
It places the emphasis on the broken human rather than the majestic initiating grace of the Father.
It makes man the hero of his own redemption story.
It really does. During the lesson, someone in the congregation actually offered a wonderful suggestion to correct this.
Oh, yes. They suggested that instead of saying, I chose, we should use the word submission.
Submission. That is beautiful.
It shifts the glory entirely back to where it belongs. It means my assurance isn't based on my own fragile ability to hold on to God, but on his mighty strength to hold on to me.
Amen.
But, you know, this brings up a massive theological tension, one that I think every believer wrestles with at some point.
Yes, the question of free will.
Right. If God is doing all the drawing, if he is the one electing and removing the veil before the foundation of the world, where does our free will fit in? Are we simply pre-programmed robots acting out a cosmic script?
That is the essential question, isn't it? And Brother John addresses it with great pastoral care. He makes it clear we are not robots.
Praise the Lord.
We absolutely have a choice, and our free will is very real. However, the mechanism of that will is what we often misunderstand.
How so?
Well, our human nature is so thoroughly broken and bound by sin that if left entirely to our own natural desires, our free will would always choose to run away from God.
We would freely choose rebellion.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Every single time. Without God initiating the rescue mission, heaven would be completely empty.
What a sobering reality.
It is. It is God's grace that regenerates the heart and opens our blinded eyes so that we can finally see the beauty of the gospel and make the right choice.
So we freely submit, yes, but only because he first did the miraculous work of giving us a new heart that desires him.
Exactly. It's entirely his work from start to finish.
What a revelation. It takes the crushing pressure of performance off of us and places the absolute certainty of our salvation entirely on his faithfulness.
It gives us rest.
It does. Now, to truly see how God's sovereign plan interacts with human free will in real time, and especially how it interacts with human sin, Brother John takes us to the Old Testament.
To the blueprint of Joseph's life.
Yes, in Genesis chapter 37.
The story of Joseph is perhaps the greatest masterpiece of God's sovereignty on display in all of Scripture.
It really is.
It perfectly illustrates how God's timeline and his methods are vastly different from our earthly expectations.
Let's follow the thread of how this actually plays out. Joseph is 17 years old. His father Jacob loves him and gives him a beautifully crafted tunic of many colors.
On the surface, it is just a piece of clothing.
Right. It kept him warm, it was fashionable, it set him apart, but it acts as a catalyst.
It sparks an intense, bitter jealousy in his brothers.
Brother John makes the crucial point here that God's sovereignty often begins through very ordinary, seemingly mundane events that later prove to have massive historical significance.
Indeed. The coat set the stage for the brothers' hatred.
Yeah.
And that leads directly to the divine revelation, which is the dream.
Right. Joseph dreams that his brothers' sheaves of wheat bow down to his.
He dreams the sun, moon, and stars bow to him. Now, this was a genuine God-given preview of what was to come.
But look at how the brothers react. They misread it entirely.
They view it through a corrupted, earthly lens. They think it is just Joseph being prideful and ambitious.
As Brother John brilliantly connects it back to the morning sermon, they were pre-assuming his history.
Yes. They thought Joseph was trying to dictate a self-serving future, when in reality, God was simply revealing what he had already ordained in the heavens.
And because of that intense hatred and misunderstanding, the situation escalates to something utterly terrifying.
They strip him of that beautiful coat of favor.
And throw him into an empty pit. Brother John emphasizes the detail in Scripture, stating there was no water in it.
Just imagine the absolute darkness. The thirst, the betrayal he felt looking up at the brothers who were supposed to protect him.
At that exact moment, God's promises appear to have failed almost immediately.
They really do.
I mean, Joseph had a divine dream of leadership, and mere days later, he is at the bottom of a dry hole left to die. But the lesson here is profound. God advances his purposes through our trials, not around them.
That is a remarkably hard truth for us to accept, but it is a deeply necessary one for the believer navigating a dark world today.
Oh, man.
We often operate under the false assumption that obedience leads to immediate visible blessing. We think doing the right thing guarantees a smooth path.
Right.
But Joseph was walking in the revelation God gave him, and it led directly to intense suffering. The pit is a stark reminder that faithfulness does not exempt us from hardship.
Sometimes the pit is the exact vehicle God uses to get us to the palace.
Incredible. And this brings us to the most staggering part of the narrative, Judah's sin.
Yes. So Judah and the brothers are standing around debating what to do with Joseph. They actually consider murdering him.
They do.
But Judah speaks up. He suggests they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites instead. And Brother John makes it very clear to the congregation, Judah wasn't being noble here.
No, not at all.
He wasn't trying to save his brother out of compassion. Judah acted from a completely selfish, greedy motive. He literally wanted to make a financial profit off of his own brother's flesh.
He committed a grievous, objective sin.
So Judah is acting out of pure greed. Yet God is writing a story of salvation. How do we wrap our minds around God authorizing a plan that requires someone to commit such a profound sin?
This touches on one of the deepest mysteries of the faith, and it is where we find the most profound comfort for our current times. Brother John states it so clearly, God's sovereignty does not depend on the purity of human motives.
Praise the Lord for that.
God does not author sin, nor does he approve of it. But in his infinite wisdom, his overarching decree acts as a sovereign umbrella over human agency.
Right.
He can perfectly govern the boundaries of human rebellion so that even a wicked choice like Judah selling his brother into slavery is used to accomplish a righteous saving end.
Because Joseph was sold, he was taken to Egypt.
Because he was in Egypt, he was eventually positioned to interpret Pharaoh's dreams.
Because he interpreted those dreams, he was put in charge of the food supply.
And because of all of that, he ended up saving the very brothers who betrayed him, preserving the covenant family of Israel from starvation.
It took 13 grueling years of suffering, from age 17 to age 30, before Joseph stood before Pharaoh.
It took more than 2 decades before the brothers were finally reconciled.
That timeline is just astonishing. 13 years of waiting, of feeling forgotten, while God was meticulously moving the pieces into place.
Which means when we look at the news today and we see corrupt leaders or wicked cultural agendas or individuals acting out of pure malice, we don't need to panic.
We don't need to lose our joy.
Exactly. God isn't in heaven pacing the floor wondering how to fix their mistakes. He is sovereignly working all things together for the ultimate good of his kingdom. His plan is never, ever derailed by human sin.
Amen. He remains firmly on the throne, regardless of who occupies the earthly seats of power. That is the anchor for our souls.
It truly is.
As we bring this time of reflection to a close, I want to consider how we apply this massive theological truth to our daily, ordinary walk.
Yes, let's bring it home.
Brother John ended his lesson with a wonderful personal story that brings it all down to earth. He mentioned having some time off during the summer, feeling a bit idle, and he decided to attend a fantasy basketball camp.
But he didn't just go to shoot hoops.
No, he had the word Romans printed on the back of his jersey.
That is such a wonderful, intentional detail. He used his attire as a deliberate conversation starter, trusting that God would use it.
Exactly. He didn't force it, but sure enough, a young man at the camp noticed it and asked him about it. And right there on the basketball court, Brother John was able to counsel him and talk to him about the Lord.
What a revelation he had there.
Yes. He realized in that moment, he wasn't just at a fantasy camp to pass the time. He was strategically placed there by a sovereign God as a sharpened tool for the kingdom.
We are all strategically placed exactly where we are right now for his distinct purposes.
That brings a heavy, joyful responsibility to our ordinary days. Whether you're walking through the aisles of a grocery store, sitting in a difficult workplace, or attending a recreational camp, you are never there by mere chance.
You are there by divine appointment.
God has ordained your steps to reflect his light in those specific spaces.
Amen.
Before we go, consider this. Toward the end of the teaching, Brother John pointed out a sobering fact about the Israelites. After God miraculously delivered them from generations of brutal slavery in Egypt, literally parting the Red Sea so they could cross on dry ground, it took them only 40 days to catch spiritual amnesia.
Just 40 days to forget the miraculous deliverance of God and start bitterly complaining in the wilderness.
If God has meticulously orchestrated your entire life, right down to the most difficult trials in your own personal pit, what miraculous provisions from your past are you currently suffering spiritual amnesia over?
What events in your own history are you failing to see as his sovereign protection today?
That is a vital, challenging question for the soul. May we all be given the grace to continually remember his faithfulness, especially when the path ahead seems dark.
Thank you so much for joining us in this reflection.
Yes, thank you. May the deep peace of our sovereign Lord be with you as you walk faithfully in his light this week. Remember to give him the glory for the unexpected blessings and trust him completely when the promises look like a pit. We will talk to you next time.